So let's start our call. Bart, unfortunately, today is not on the call, but he tried to add some the things that we discussed to the CCNSO Council meeting guideline, which, as you remember from the last call, was renamed to CCNSO Council Practices. Kim, may I ask you to open the... Yes. So we have several additions here. As you can see, I don't know if everybody can scroll there. I can certainly do the scrolling. I hope you can do that too. So, as I see, Kim says that the document is scrollable. So, as you can see, here are some additions to the guideline. And Bart also tried to address some of the issues we raised. For example, on the second page, on the top of the second page, you can see that here's a new proposal. Items added 4 working days before the meeting may only be discussed, but shall not be decided at the meeting, during the meeting. That's one thing. Any immediate comments? Or if there are any comments, please raise your hand. And okay, if no, let's move forward. There are some attendance, something around the meeting itself. It's quorum, and here I think it's a very good addition. It's 50% plus 1 of the decisions of councillors. It's really important that I can explain you why, because, for example, in July, BICA has stepped down, and so instead of 18 councillors, we have only 17 councillors. So in that case, probably the requirement to have 10 councillors in order to have quorum is not a reasonable one. So 50% plus 1. Would be a better. I'm not sure it solves the problem. Now I'm thinking 17. Mathematically speaking, if we have 17 councillors, 50% is 8.5, and plus 1, it's 9.5. Good morning, Alejandra. Glad you joined us. I don't know how to solve that, because you cannot always have a round number of not round number for 50%. Yes, majority of councillors. Yes, in that case, 9 would definitely be, I think, the majority. Well, that. Don't think we should go into details about how to do the rounding of numbers. Okay, so majority of councillors, I think it's... personally, I like the suggestion. Okay. I just received email from Stephen. He has apparently an issue. He has... he's been asked. Okay, Kim already is dealing with that. Okay, so hopefully Stephen will join us shortly too. So here we have this part about the rules, rules and bylaws is removed. What's next? Yes, in 5.3, I think it's very correct addition here. So the meeting can be quorate for just a part of the meeting if somebody has to leave earlier. So we usually in that case, if it's known in advance, we try to address the all those issues that need a decision in the beginning of the meeting, but sometimes it's not possible. So I think this edition is really very good one. Then we have well, some editing, minor editing updates here. And I think that's basically it. I'd really love to see Stephen. Okay, unfortunately Stephen is not here yet, but if we have a great title now, CC Michelle practices, probably there are some other other aspects that we need to cover. I can't think of any, I must tell you, but maybe some of you have good ideas. What else would you like to know about the council, how council should practice, so to speak? So any ideas? Anyone would like to suggest some new section, something that needs to be described? Okay, I clearly see that at least somebody hears me because I see reactions, but I don't hear a thing. Either you do not speak or... Oh, yeah, David, please.
Hi, Katrina, David McCauley. The only thing I would say is, and this probably already provides for it, but there has to be a way for the council to act quickly in the next year or two based on the experience that develops in the empowered community and the CCNSO's role as a decisional participant. But I was just thinking, should we say, you know, that there needs to be a way to take in that experience into account, but this probably is already flexible enough to do that. But I'm just stretching, really, trying to find something that might be addressed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, David. Well, I think that those issues specific to this empowered community thing, I think we'll cover them in other guidelines. That's my impression. Okay, we can probably, we do not need to come up with something artificial here. If nothing comes to mind, there's no need to try to come up with something. Alejandra, you as the counselor, one of the counselors, anything you'd like to see covered in this guideline? Okay, Alejandro is typing. Okay, probably, again, there's no need to come up with something ingenious. At this moment, I will try to go through this guideline, accept all the, those suggestions and change to the one that Martin suggested, surely, not sure, majority of councillors. And send it again to you, so hopefully you, Alejandra, Stephen, and all others can think again and look at it and think if there's anything you could come up with. If not, then next week you could finalize it by, and translate into plain English, just go through it once more and see, well, hopefully we can have yet another guideline ready. Okay, so that's about this guideline. Can we move to the next one? As you remember, during our last call, we talked about the document, the guideline about email lists, who should be subscribed to which email list. And we decided that this is not a priority, something that can wait. And meanwhile, Bart summarized everything that we have about email lists, who is subscribed to what. First of all, what mailing lists we have and who supposed to be subscribed to which list. So his proposal was probably we do not need a guideline. Well, maybe not, but in any case, we need some kind of a document. This is, for example, very good overview of all the lists. I would personally prefer to have it, probably this could be an appendix or guideline that just clearly says what we can, who can subscribe, where, who has to do that, and at what point we remove people from the list. So, again, this is not a priority, but here we have already some material to work with. Maybe we could just use it and come up with something like a guideline or other type of supplement. So any comments? Okay, David is typing something. Document rather than guideline, if possible. Okay, what kind of document then? Because, well, bylaws don't give us much space there. We have to develop our own, how did it say, rules and procedures or something like that. Now, if it's a guideline, then we can clearly say, define when it's revised, how to update it, and what's the main idea there, and clearly define roles and responsibilities, who's responsible for what. If it's another kind of document, I don't know what kind of document it can be. Yeah, well, that's a fair question. Ben asks, do we have a procedure criteria for creating new lists? I don't think so. I'm not aware of procedure like that. So, neither we have a procedure for closing lists or something. And what information should be shared on which list. So I personally am in favor of a guideline to describe current practices, but yes, David.
Thanks, Katrina. David McCauley again. I don't have a real strong feeling one way or the other. A guideline might make sense, but maybe it would make sense to take this up in the next call and ask Bart what his thoughts are. The other thing is it would be worth considering is when we think through the email list, decide if we want to have email lists like, for instance, this guideline review committee that goes to the committee, but maybe have some kind of observers also getting the list if they're interested in observing, just because it may engender some additional participation along the way when a guideline comes up or some other topic comes up that people are interested in and may help keep the community better informed. So we may want to think through the email list a little bit more comprehensively or more holistically as we do that. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. So the guideline, will it be, I think. I think we can really come up with some things to write in that guideline. And David, since you touched the issue of communities' involvement, those of you who are subscribed to the Speaking of Soul members list probably have noticed we had a quite hot discussion going on that list. So I came up with an idea I'd like to discuss with you. We're already under agenda item number 4. It just occurred to me that, the problem is that, not the problem, it's the current process, that the Guidelines Review Committee works on a document, so we're reviewing all guidelines, and recently it's come up with pretty many new documents. We share our concerns, our ideas, our work during the CCNSO meeting days, face-to-face meeting days. We also have published information on GRC wiki space. I have to admit that it needs some updating because when we had to come up with some needed to come up with new guidelines, there was no time to update our wiki space, but that will be corrected, so we will add all the documents to the this GRC wiki space, but of course when we submit documents to the council reviews them, and then the councillors can if they read the document, they can propose any changes. They never did so far. But then community has 3 days, 7 days to overrule council decision. But again, I cannot say that everybody has time to closely follow the process. Clearly, at the moment when something happens, for example, we issue a call for volunteers, or we issue a call for nominations and secondments, then all of a sudden people start wondering, so why is it this way, or why is it any other way, and who has decided on that, and so on. My proposal is to introduce public consultation or public comments period when we finalize the guidelines. So we, the GRC, we finalize the guidelines, then we publish it and issue and send to the mailing list information inviting people to comment, provide comments on the guideline we have updated or reviewed or submitting new guidelines that we have developed. It could be a 2 weeks period for people to submit their comments, and then we review the received comments, and either we update the guideline or we leave it as it is. And I think at this point we do not have any really urgent guidelines, so we could afford at least the 2 weeks public comments period. We need another. If we change the guideline drastically, we need to submit it for yet another public comment period. But probably most. In most of the cases, one should be enough, hopefully. The question from Alejandra in the chat room, the public comments will be completely open. Of course, it's just for CCTV community. Why should we ask other communities about our internal processes? Of course, it's just for, and I'd say even for only for CCTV members. We need to have some goodies for members. Yes, Martin.
Thanks, Katrina. Martin speaking. Well, if that's the best we can offer for goodies for members, I think we've got a bit of a problem. I guess it had never properly dawned on me before that lines that we've been preparing were not necessarily visible to the membership. And I think certainly your comments, Katrina, I would greatly support. I think it would sit very badly in the new structure of ICANN for us not to at least draw attention to what was being done quite clearly so that the membership could see. The only slight question I've got is that a proper and full consultation process is quite a laborious process. I think we also can risk people getting to a stage of consultation exhaustion. And certainly I am highly conscious that from within Nominet, putting in a response to a CCNSO consultation wasn't just me sitting with a cold towel on my head and writing the input, but something that had to be cleared through the Nominet board. So I actually do wonder whether there might be some sort of midway route which would be to draw attention on the mailing list to the documents that were being proposed and ask people to forward any sort of thoughts or comments that they might have on those and only if it was it suddenly became obvious that here was something that was controversial, would you go out for a full consultation so you had properly and openly documented reasons to why a particular approach needed reconsideration. I don't have any great strong ideas. It's just that having gone through the process a number of times, rather too many times over the last couple of years, that it did seem to me that if we could avoid going down the very, very formal routes because we've gone through a reasonably informal discussion sort of process as the one that you mentioned at the beginning of your intervention, Katrina, whether that might be a good way of going forwards. I say it's just an initial thought. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin. Okay, we should not call it a public comment. We can call it, a consultation with the community or provide your ideas. Yeah, well, another thing is that, for example, if we have something, we do something one way and there are one or two CCTLD representatives offering a completely different alternative way, can we assume that others are okay with the way A, or we should immediately switch to way B just because some of who are vocal about it? Yeah, it's also it's not a simple thing, but I think we need some kind of mechanism so that people don't say that we did not know and how did you come up with silly idea like that. And so I'd like to share the similarness of ideas with the rest of the community to invite more crazy and crazy and really just some light comments, and let's sort of see what others think, and we can at the end we can come up with a very good solution. So yeah, well, I agree. There should be probably less heavy and invite people to provide their comments on this. Yeah, well. Okay, so Dan thinks that supports both ideas, to add observers to the list and to have consultation with the community. Okay, it's okay with Mirjana too. But again, it's the question how to, what dressing to use for this, it's still open. So probably, again, don't need to respond now. We have 2 weeks of time to think about best mechanisms so that we can come up with something that could help the community to understand what we're doing and help us to get feedback, more feedback from the community. Well, I don't know, probably we can, I think on this, on the, where I have it open now. Yep, on the, on our wiki space we have, write a comment. There's a nice box in there. Maybe we can use these comments. Invite people to comment on our wiki space on our working documents. That's one of the ideas. Oh, you mean, Martin, you mean change the... I'm not sure we can do that, actually. Kim, maybe you can... I think that maybe we can add... we can add some explanatory text to our wiki pages, but I'm not sure we can change what's written in the comment box, write a comment. I'm not sure we can change it to anything else. But probably this is something to tell people during our face-to-face meeting, but we're getting there. Okay, so this is something to think about. One of the ideas is to use Wikispace more proactively, and probably this could work. Okay. Can you just confirm my suspicions about the wiki software? Okay, so let's not spend more time on this. Something to think about. If you have come up with a better idea, you can share it on the mailing list or during our next call. Okay, IRP assessment. Thanks, David, for sharing it with us. We've also had some exchange off the list. Okay, David, maybe you can summarize it. It's going to be easier.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Katrina. It's David McCauley again. The IRP is something that that we will need to deal with respect to guidelines, et cetera, but the timing may not yet be appropriate for us to do that. When I looked at the IRP parts of the new bylaws, by the way, I should back up and say as part of background that I'm a member of the IRP implementation oversight team that is headed by Becky Burr. And we have been busy the last several months trying to develop supplemental rules of procedure that would, that would be used for the new IRP process under the bylaws. And so I bring that to this discussion. On October 1st, the new bylaws took effect because the transition took place. And under the new bylaws, there is a difference in IRP in that the standard of the IRP is different. It's no longer simply a procedural inquiry. It's now can be substantive, and it also can be binding, can be made binding. And it's very clear under the new bylaws that the CCNSO can be touched or can touch the IRP process in two ways at least. One is that as a supporting organization itself. It's very clear that claimants to the IRP process can include supporting organizations. And the other way that it could touch us is as in our role, in the CCNSO role, as a decisional participant in the empowered community, because the empowered community can also bring an IRP, and the process for that is is somewhat complex, and it's very well described in Annex D to the new bylaws. But stepping back just a second, the supplemental rules that the IRP implementation oversight team is working on are very far along, basically close to being done, but they're not done. And some of the rules, as they touch the empowered community, are not done either. That's not to say that somebody can't bring a new styled IRP if they had a complaint today. They certainly could. The bylaw is in place. There is a panel in place. And the rules are simply not finished. The old rules would probably apply, but we're close to finishing the rules. All that being said, it struck Bart, and when I read his mail, I agreed that it's probably a little premature for this group to touch a process or a guideline discussing our involvement with IRP, and better probably to wait until rules are finished and the Annex D becomes a little bit clearer as to how this will affect decisional participants, including the CCNSO. Maybe that's a little halting background, but roughly that's where we are with IRP, and I tend to agree with Bart that it would be better for us to pick this up in a little while as opposed to right now. Thanks, Katrina. I hope that makes sense. If not, I'm happy to answer questions about it.
Yeah, thank you very much, David. Any questions? I think that's a reasonable suggestion, so we probably should not be in a hurry at this moment, because I don't know how to say that. In English, in Latin, we use the expression that we will be running in front of the train. Probably there is a nice saying in English. But as you can imagine, it's quite dangerous to run in front of the train, because you can just get run over it. I think it's a reasonable suggestion, and we should wait a little bit for those things be more elaborated by the groups, and then we can catch up and add whatever is related to the CCNSO. Anything, any comments, any questions? So, if not, we're doing quite well. Moving to agenda item number 6, so we should prepare for a meeting in Hyderabad. And here we have two questions. First is who to invite to the face-to-face meeting? Who will we need to consult with, use the opportunity and talk to in Hyderabad? So unfortunately, David cannot make it to the, very sorry to hear that. But things are as they are. I have to accept that. Okay, David.
Thank you, Katrina. David McCulley again. I would suggest that, and depending on time, I may be there remotely, but if we do have a remote connection. But I think it would be good to invite Becky Burr for that you know, for a brief discussion about the IRP process. At this particular board meeting, Becky is going to be stepping up and onto the board, so she'll probably be moving out of her role as head of the IRP oversight team. I really don't know that. I'm just speculating. But it might be nice to invite Becky to sit, and just to mention to Becky, you know, we would like to make sure that we are in line with respect to how we with respect to developing guidelines to make sure we're ready to deal with IRP if it arises, either in our capacity as a supporting organization or in our capacity as a decisional participant. Could you, Becky, speak to us briefly about where the IRP process is? I think that would be a nice invite. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. That's good. Aglise, Lorraine Aglise, or Jordan, somebody else? That's only if we really have questions, that's all. Okay, Stephen stopped typing, so unless there are other ideas, other suggestions, other wishes from the group, then we can move to the next. Item 6.2, it's accountability session. We'll have a presentation during the face-to-face meeting in Marrakesh. It's on Monday. So we will need to tell about our progress, report on our progress to the community. One of the things I think we definitely need to cover, that's our proposal to have community consultation process, let's call it. At this point, we're not certain about the project itself, but currently most of what it's proposal is to send out the link. As soon as we start working on a document, we send out a link and invite people to submit, to write their comments on the leaky space so that we can, first of all can see them, and second, so that we have everything quite transparent and in one place. And do not bother those who do not care about that on a mailing list. So probably we will come up with some other mechanism, but this is something that we have at the moment. What else? Okay, apart from the report on actual guidelines and the work that is still ahead of us, anything else you think we should tell to the community? Ask something from them? Any immediate feedback you need from them? Well, I talk faster than you type, so probably you should start talking too. Okay, there's an independent chat going on in the chat window. I see you discussing something that is not related to my question to you. So, I will repeat my question. Anything else do you think we need to say to the community? Okay, David has no new ideas, neither has Martin. Okay, something to think about, so you don't need to answer at this particular moment. I will try to prepare the presentation by our next meeting so that we can discuss it. It's okay. Yeah, I will be back by the time we have our call in 2 weeks. So I will come out, I will prepare a presentation and we can review it next time during our next call. So about any other business, I've started working on the travel funding guideline. This is one of the guidelines we promised to finalize before the end of the year, or to submit to the council. And well, I can't report any significant progress there, but I hope that I'll be able to send it to you this week, or hopefully at least first draft. Oh, but we have currently an old guideline, but there are things that need to be rewritten this and updated, of course. Yes, so I need to think about. Okay, Stephen will think about things to say to the community. Okay, that's I think all from me. Anything you would like to say under any other business? Oh yeah, probably one more thing I will share with you. As you know, we have selected the Fishing Shore Council has selected two members to the Customer Standing Committee according to our guidelines. And as you may remember, we decided not to cover all those things regarding chairmanship and which of our selected members will serve initially two and which will serve a 3-year period. So last week I was in Belgrade where we had the Center General Assembly, and Byron Holland was there as a member of the Customer Standing Committee, and he actually the group had its first call. It was on Thursday. So they have agreed on who will be the chair. So Byron will be the chair of the Customer Standing Committee, and Jay will serve 3-year period, and Byron will serve 2-year period. So they have solved issues that we were thinking about, and thinking about and decided not to cover. So this is something that we do not need to worry about, and I think our decision was a correct one. We cannot impose anything on members of CSC. That's one thing. Then my understanding is that they have started working on a website where people will be, customers will be able to submit their complaints, and probably in a year's time we'll have to start. Not probably, but definitely we'll have to start thinking about charter review together with GNSO. But, in any case, CSC has started taking off and has started working very actively on setting up all the procedures for the committee. So our job most probably is done. One thing is still probably hot, and at some point we'll need to discuss it with our members on the Customer Standing Committee. This is regarding communication back to the community, towards something that Martin wrote a general overview of, but we just had to put it on the shelf for some time. But, I think at some point we'll have to get back to it. So this is, that's all from my side. And again, if there are no any comments, questions, updates from you, then our next call is in 2 weeks. Same time. And again, let's summarize what we need to do. Need to think about this email. The email list guidelines, so apparently it will be a guideline. Then I go through the CCNSO Council practice guideline or the new comments, new addition that Bart added to the guideline. New and especially the two counselors we have in our group, Alejandra and Stephen, think if there are any other section that we should add to the document to cover council practice. Martin will not join the call, unfortunately. Then we have started working on this trial funding guideline and presentation for our report in Hyderabad. So the last two are on me, and of course I'm going to submit and send information to the list, so you can also comment and add your ideas to the presentation and to the guidelines. Of course, we also think about ways to carry out some public consultation and also how to... there was something else. And who else to invite to the meeting, our face-to-face meeting in Hyderabad, and hopefully there will be remote... there will be remote connectivity available to those who will not be in Hyderabad to join the our meeting, our this meeting, and hopefully also our report to the community Monday. So. The latest draft council meeting, no, it's not the latest one. The latest one is the one we reviewed today, and I will accept all the changes and send it again so that you can have yet another look. Okay, if that's it, if there are no more questions, suggestions, anything, then thank you very much for being today on the call, and see you in 2 weeks. Well, all apart from Martin, unfortunately. So, thank you, and bye-bye.